And we are we are going to do Inside the City, our weekly show on things happening in the city of Palmer. And with us today, we have Planning Director Sandra Garley. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good to be back.
Yeah. And the topic we were told you were assigned to talk about today
yes.
is the Matt Maid property.
Okay, so, good.
So maybe start out with what that is. Maybe people don't have a context.
There are 7 parcels of land that are located sort of in the heart of Palmer. You can see them from the library parking lot, from the depot parking lot. And the 7 parcels constitute what used to be the industrial area of the colony, the original colony plan, and included things like the warehouses and the powerhouse. And unfortunately, over the years, we've lost some of those structures. The warehouse a couple of years ago, you may remember.
Well, I remember that. We smelled smoke when we woke up that morning.
Yes. And the property is zoned commercial, but there hasn't been much activity there for many, many, many years.
Okay.
There were 7 property owners that we initially contacted to see if they might be interested in selling the property to the city. That was after the voters had approved the $3 million bond. And initially, they indicated that they would be at least willing to talk with us. Well, of course, the city, being a municipality, cannot just write a check for a property. You have to show that you're paying, fair market value. And that means that you have to have a professional appraiser come in and give you that number. And then once you have that appraised number, the fair market value number, you're really kind of locked into that as a price, because the taxpayers don't give you a blank check. And so once we got the appraisals back, there was only one of the 7 property owners who thought the appraised value was a good selling price and agreed to sell at that appraised value. Of the other property owners, the other 6 property owners, 5 of them gave us a counteroffer much higher than the appraised market value, and one of the property owners indicated that they were not that anxious to sell without a very substantial increase in the price. So when we looked at that, the city kind of rethought its position, and that was when we really looked at working with EPA to do what cities can do best, and that is work with other government agencies. And so since one of the impediment was this question mark about whether or not there really are environmental issues, and if so, sort of what kind of range of problem was it? Was it a bad problem? Was it a slight problem? And so that was when we really applied for the Brownfield grant and began working with EPA on the testing. Because that, you know, if we could just give the property owners some assurance of what level of environmental issues they might be dealing with, then we leave it to the private sector to do the development.
Okay. So that sounds like the intention of the city now, is to help the private sector develop that property instead of – I remember the vision of the – community center kind of thing under Bill Allen, mm-hmm. City manager time, building a conference center and a museum, and it was very grandiose and inspiring.
It was very inspiring, and because you're talking about taxpayers' money, we took that idea and hired a consulting firm, and it was a nationally recognized firm who specializes in conference centers. And they did a feasibility study for the city of Palmer, and basically they laid out what not only the construction costs would be and what our opportunities for bringing conferences here really looked like, but then they also indicated that those kind of conference centers do operate in the red. Communities that have them recognize that they don't bring in to the owner, to the cities, as much money as it costs to operate them. And the communities that have them operate them because they're, good for the community, not because they're big money makers. And the city of Palmer really kind of looked at that feasibility study and said, well, we're just not there financially right now.
Well, I remember that study, and I thought it was comprehensive in nature, and in particular, it's set up people to understand the dynamics of doing something locally in Palmer within the context both of the borough and other competitive groups in similar situations all around the area. Mm-hmm. I thought the value of it was to deal with this the issue of what might be and what you would have to put together to make it happen. And, of course, that was back in the day before the borough had to put the money into expanding the borough building. And there was considerable discussion because we also had the example of Cordova and Wrangell, other communities in Alaska, which have done a comprehensive development of the sort, mixing some public and other museums, for example, and other things thrown in. So time has gone on. The borough has done its expansion. The city of Palmer is still in its present city hall building. Are there any further thoughts about the city being part of that development in terms of a new city hall?
I think there continues to be a lot of interest on the part of the community in seeing something like that happen. One of the properties of the seven lots it belongs to the state of Alaska, and it's a three-acre parcel. It's the largest of the seven parcels. The city has gone to the legislature and asked for that property to be either conveyed directly to the city or for funding to be provided from the state legislature to the Department of Natural Resources Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund. They are the actual holders of that property. And so if the city could acquire that 3 acres, then that would open the opportunity for any kind of governmental agency to go in there, whether that would be the city in combination with perhaps the state troopers who are looking for more space or borough offices, or whether the city then perhaps contacted some of the federal agencies that have needs for offices here and we would go into some kind of a joint venture. Those are things that are all open and are all being explored.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so lots of fluidity and lots of possibilities as we move forward, and then some things will hopefully emerge as this looks like a good path to take.
I think that exploration still continues to take place, especially on the what we call the Arliff property, the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund parcel. The other properties we are visiting continually with the six private property owners. We've had several meetings with a couple of the owners, talking about what their eventual plans would be for the property. We want to make them understand that we are very anxious to be of assistance, and in fact, we have, as my office particularly and the manager's office is contacted. Almost on a weekly basis by outside firms that are interested in moving into this general area. We try to team them up with the private property owners in that area, and perhaps that will actually lead to an eventual purchase and development by the private sector. So that's another thing that we really try to do. We try to match up business calls with those property owners.
That's exciting. What fun.
It is. It makes every day when you answer the phone, you never know what kind of opportunity is going to be there.
Okay.
So one of the, I guess the questions I have to do with whether there is an opportunity for all of the players to meet on a regular basis together. Because it sounds to me as if there's the question, is this going to be developed with a plan for the entire area? Or are there going to be individual property owners that are going ahead because they have something they can see and they'll go ahead and do that, maybe casting an eye over their shoulder at what others might do in the future, but not really coordinating heavily?
Well, again, that's kind of what the role that the city can play on that, and that is the role that we are undertaking. We do talk to the private property owners, and we are trying to create a shared vision between the private property owners as they talk about their development plans. The city, really frankly, is very interested in at some point in time acquiring at least a portion of the parcel that has the water tower on it. We would like that to be a community asset.
Because right now it's owned by
a private property.
Property, right.
It's a private property on a private property parcel.
Sure.
In supporting the water tower sort of iconic vision of Palmer, we're trying to work with the private property owners to look at utilizing an architectural guide that was put together by Fran Sagerboss at the borough, who's their cultural resource specialist. And it sort of defines the elements, the architectural elements that are the colony look. And, for example, the little building that used to be the Alaskana bookstore has recently changed hands. We've met with the new property owners. They're very anxious in putting their new business in, and at some point in time we'll let them come and talk to you about what their new business is going to be. But they're very aware of the architectural style. They're talking about perhaps adding onto the building. I've met with them at my office, and they're going to follow that blueprint. They're very excited by the idea of following that blueprint. So, and again, all the property owners that we have talked about, that we've talked with, see that as a value to their future development.
Mm-hmm. And so as we think about private development, is it retail? Is it office space? Is it wide open? Is it apartments? Is it?
Well, luckily, they are in a zoning district that allow all of those kinds of things to develop. And again, when we talk to them, we're looking at persuading them to think about mixed-use development, offices, retail, and some condos or apartments there would be a really good mix. We try to educate them to the fact that it's within walking distance of just about everything, the library, the post office, the farmer's market, shopping. And so it would be very appealing to large segments of our population if they could live there.
Right. If anyone needs a reference on that kind of walkability, that you can have them talk to us, because we love living, you know, right here downtown.
It's awesome. And one of the things that, again, is important, and we're trying to educate everybody, all of our new businesses about, is that the thing that makes a downtown viable is that people live there as well as work there and shop there. It's a real plus to have people who are there at night walking around, shopping, or just living there. And so, again, that's part of the process that we're trying to educate the private property and potential developers that mix is healthy for their investment. And it's very healthy for the community to have that mix of uses.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful.
Really looking forward to seeing that happen in the future.
Yeah. So, and then a nice step for you will be if through the legislature you could acquire that 3-acre parcel. And
yes, because then we would be actual players in that development plan, and in a way that is beneficial to this community in having some kind of either the city building there or a state or a borough agency there. But at the same time, you know, we then are on the same equal footing with the other developers in that in that process. And so that would be helpful.
Right.
Who do you remind me now, I know over the years there have been different groups, an ag group that was involved in controlling that property and the decision about it. Is at this moment in time, is the ball in one court or another, or who has to take action to further along the acquisition?
That parcel is really under control of the Ag Board.
Right.
And they have a very specific mission. Their mission by statute is to provide for a revolving loan for agricultural users. And so they can't simply convey their asset to the city of Palmer. They have to be paid for that asset. And so they really are sort of the group that we need to work with. And that is why the city has gone to the state legislature to have the state legislature either give directly from this legislature to the Ag Fund or give to the city of Palmer so that we could give to the Ag Board the funds that they need to keep that revolving loan fund solvent and in a good financial condition. So we understand their issue, but, so we're trying to find a workaround.
Right, and it actually gives them more liquidity to make loans if they have the money rather than the property.
Exactly, and that is their mission ultimately. So we're trying to make that happen so that they're happy and that we can end up with property.
Cool.
So I'm thinking ahead, and I know you've been involved with planning for a long time, and my understanding is that if that block should be developed with a mix of different things, it will change somewhat the dynamic of downtown Palmer, because at the present time, we do have a facility associated with the state and the courthouse, and we have the borough. But we have this large space which has one commercial or two commercial operations and a third coming up. But it would shift, I would think, things such as traffic patterns and all the rest.
And that's one of the reasons that, again, we try to work with the developers right now so that we can kind of keep a handle on, you know, what they're thinking and work with them to give them the information that they need so that when we have that shift, it is something that we understand before it happens and can help resolve any issues that we see coming up as a result of that shift. They're going to have some parking issues. There are going to be some traffic issues, all of which can be resolved if there's proper planning. And that depends on having information. And so that, again, that's why we try to keep in contact with not just the property owners, but as they talk to other developers, they try to share that information with us so that, again, we can start working with those developers front end.
Okay. Lee, do you have any further questions?
No, I just, the project has evolved differently than where I last found out about it. So I appreciate this update, Sandra.
Oh, it is evolving. And it's, like any wish, you sort of have to kind of work on it. And when it takes a step to the left, you have to be ready for that. And so right. That's kind of what we've done.
Right. And so take a step to the left. This can still work and be useful for the city. And let's see how we can move forward.
Yeah. That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
Right. I'm satisfied. That's a good update. I'd spent a lot of time, as many people have over a number of years. This is not something that has been looked at just in the last 5 or even 10 years. Go back through records that extend 15, 20 years into the past, what to do with the MetMaid facility, particularly after the co-op came out of the buildings that now have burned down.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you. Well, that's Inside the City, Friday, October 10th, with Sandra Garley, Director of Planning for the City of Palmer. Thank you.